Welcome to installment 267 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, prohibition 251, the prohibition not to cause someone pain and humiliation as a result of your verbal statement, a nos dvorim.
The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which explains a verse in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 17, which states, V'leisonu ish es hamisei v'yareisa me'elokecha. Literally, one person should not fraud another, and you should be afraid of your God. The Sifra points out that we have another verse, as we mentioned in the previous commandment, Prohibition 250, that Alteinu Ishes Ochiv, that a person should not fraud another. What is the difference between these two? The Sifra explains that the previous verse, verse 14, refers to cheating a person of money. And over here it's referring to einos dvarim, verbally causing pain and humiliation, meaning mental anguish and mental distress to another person through one of your comments. And several cases are given by the Sifra. One, pointing out a bad aspect of a person's past in a way that will cause him pain. For example, telling a person who was a Baal Tshuva, who has previously done acts in violation of the Torah and now has come back to the proper path, tell him, remember the acts you have done previously. Do you remember what you used to do, how you used to act? And even as the Rambam says, even if you tell a person, you know, you should thank God that he's taken you off such a path back to the good path that you're now behaving on, that you're now following. Even this, which is not perhaps not done in order to shame the person, but the person being reminded that he must thank God that he's gone away from his previous bad path, he will be reminded of what he used to do, he will become aware that the other person knows it as well, and this will cause pain and humiliation, and therefore there's a prohibition of einos dvarim. Incidentally, the Tzemach Tzedek in Derech Mitzvah Secha ties this in with the general idea of Avos Yisrael. Regarding the commandment to love one's fellow Jew, the Gemara says, this which is hateful for you, do not do to your neighbor. And the Tzemach Tzedek explains, what is it that you hate? A person, even though he knows his own faults, and perhaps knows his own faults better even than another person does. But nevertheless, since a person has an essential love for himself, his own faults don't bother him. When he sees a fault in someone else, this causes the person to become very upset. How can that person act like that? They're dishonest. They lose their temper. They have another bad personality trait. We get all upset. However, our own faults, we're not unaware of them. We know that they're there. However, we ignore them since we have such an overpowering self-love. It doesn't really upset us. What do we hate? When someone should come up to you, if you, for example, are stingy, and tell you, you know, you're really stingy, you should really improve yourself. The person becomes all upset. Why do they get upset? They themselves know that they're stingy. They knew it already. What are they upset at? They are upset because the other person has revealed it. The other person has shown that they know it as well. And this is something you hate. And the Tzemach Tzedek says, this which you hate, that you hate if someone else should reveal and speak to you personally in a shameful way about your own negative traits, don't do it to your friend either. Just like your own overpowering self-love leads you not to be upset about your own faults, do not be upset about another one's faults as well. That you're the same strong, powerful love, which has no bound and which has no requirement, should apply to your fellow Jew as well. Therefore, their negative characteristics should not affect you either. The Sifra gives other examples of causing a inah or mental anguish to another person. For example, when a person is enduring suffering or sickness, and you tell the person, well, you know, nothing comes for no reason. This must be a punishment for something you've done. This is also einos dvarim, causing unnecessary anguish, increasing the person's distress unnecessarily. Another two examples are given by the Sifra, which relate more directly to every, even though the previous ones also relate, the last two are perhaps not as well known, and relate very, very closely to common day practice in the business sphere. One of them is that if a person The Sifra quotes a case where there are chamarim, people that are leading mules, and they come to a town in order to buy certain things to bring back to their home city and sell. And you tell them, you know, maybe you can get it over at a certain place. And you know that that other place doesn't have it. And why are you sending them over there? Only in order to cause anguish, either to the one who doesn't have the proper goods, or perhaps to the mule drivers themselves. If your purpose is to harm them, and not merely that it's an innocent mistake, this is also causing a gnaw, causing unnecessary mental anguish, and is prohibited by this biblical law. In addition, the Rambam quotes the statement of the Sifra, do not ask a person who is selling an object, how much does this cost, unless you have some intent to buy it. If you have no intent to buy the object, this is prohibited under prohibition number 251, a biblical prohibition, that since you're asking the price, and you have no intention of buying it, later on the one that is selling it will be disappointed when you don't buy it. If you at least had some intention to buy it, and then you change your mind, this is the regular way of business. But if you have no intention to buy it whatsoever, then this is prohibited because you're causing unnecessary anguish to the person. If you might have intention to buy it, and then you hear the price and decide it's not cheap enough for your budget, then it's not your fault, it's his fault. If he should be prepared, if he's going to charge such a price, that he's going to be disappointed. However, price comparison, comparison shopping, is a very common practice today. And a common example might be that we have today many catalogs. People can shop without even leaving their home and can buy straight from a catalog. And these places have no showrooms. They do not have to pay salesmen. And therefore, their prices are much lower than a regular store, which would have to have a showroom, have sample objects. And therefore, since they have so much overhead, so many other costs, they have to charge a greater price to cover. However, you want to buy with a cheaper price from the catalog, but you don't know exactly what you want. So what do people do? They walk into a showroom, and they take a salesman and ask him, show me this and show me that, until they finally make up their mind what they want. They thank the salesman very much for his kindness, and they go home and order from the catalog. What have they done? Einas dvarim, according to most opinions, that this salesman is being disappointed. He was hoping to make a sale. Aside from the fact that you might be encroaching upon outright theft, since you are stealing the person's time, that his salary is being paid by his boss in order to sell things, and you are using up his valuable time without any possibility of his employer regaining that money, since you have no intention whatsoever, you know before you went in that the price is going to be more. Therefore, you might be even stealing money directly from him. Aside from that, you're causing unnecessary disappointment to the parties involved, and this is therefore forbidden. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid goes even a step further, and he says that if a person, this time putting it back on the salesman, that if a person comes in and asks you, how much is this object worth? A common business practice is to say, well, how much will you give me for it? To ask for a bid. What will happen? The person will make a bid, and there's the possibility that the salesman will say, I'm sorry, I'm not selling it for that price. Was this necessary? Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says no, that if you have a price that you would accept for it, you must notify the buyer. It is not allowed merely to tell him, well, make me an offer. Since this is unnecessary and will cause disappointment to the prospective buyer, when his offer is not accepted, this is also under the category of a nas dvarim. There are many other things to discuss, such as bait and switch techniques, which are common in the business world when a store puts an object on sale and knows that it's going to quickly run out of the object, and only does this in order to attract people into the store. Or, after putting an item on sale and attracting people to the store, the salesman immediately say, well, this is on sale, you know you only get what you pay for, and this object really isn't worth the money you're paying for it anyway. You should buy something more expensive. This is also a verbal fraud and also prohibited. In his Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe brings other examples of things prohibited because of a nos dvarim. For example, when involving a dvar chochma, a concept, a person has an intellectual question, and you ask someone else, well, do you know the answer to this? And you know full well that the person you're asking does not know the answer. This will cause the person embarrassment and disappointment, that they have to reveal that they do not know the answer, and therefore it should not be done. So too the Alter Rebbe says that when a person has a nickname, which is an embarrassing nickname, something which is uncomplimentary, and you call the person by that nickname, you are also causing him unnecessary distress. And even if many other people call him by that name, and even if he's used to the name, nevertheless, if your intent is to shame him, it is nevertheless prohibited. The Rambam concludes by saying that G'day le'nos dvarim me'nos momen, that verbal disappointment, verbal distress, enos dvarim, is even worse in a way than monetary fraud. That we see in the verse regarding enos dvarim, today's mitzvah, the verse adds, v'yoreso me'elokecha, that you should have fear of God, showing how much more important and even more the worst damage which is caused by verbal distress. And the Alter Rebbe brings other reasons in his Shulchan Aruch why it is worse. When it comes to monetary fraud, you can always return the money, which is not the case when you've caused somebody humiliation. In addition, when you cause someone financial loss, it's only their money. When you cause them humiliation or mental anguish, you've harmed them themselves, not only their money and their possessions. You have harmed them directly. And the Alter Rebbe concludes that a person who has been the victim of a nos dvarim, his prayers are answered immediately. Nena miyad. That should the victim cry out to Hashem that the perpetrator should be punished, his prayers are answered immediately, and the retribution will be swift. The Rambam concludes and directs us to the fourth chapter of Bava Metzia for more laws regarding this mitzvah.